Hello and welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Ash Riot.
And welcome to our live program today on January 29th. Happy birthday, Auntie Jeanette. It's my aunt's birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeanette.
Yes.
She's the skibble.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the best skibble player in the world.
She taught us how to play skibble, and now Ash and I can't stop, and everybody we hang with, we get them to play with us.
I love skibble.
You can't even hear you.
I love Skippo.
Ash is trying to fix something here. Is that all good?
I'm just trying to fix the cord for the wall, and it's not plugging in.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's okay, everybody. I'm a professional.
She's a professional techie. What school did you go to?
Techie you.
Sounds like you almost swore at somebody.
No, I didn't. I love everyone.
Anyway, today our show, unfortunately, for those of you who were attempting to get in touch with us 2 weeks ago, we're doing our show tonight that we were supposed to do 2 weeks ago, and it's the show on manifestation, and what we've called this show is, I haven't gotten what I want when I want it, so how come? The manifestation show. So thanks for helping us out. We were actually in Washington, and they had a really big snow, and so our internet out there was really intermittent, and right when the show was coming on, we just lost all contact with BBS, so we couldn't follow through. We were ready to do the show, but unfortunately couldn't get it on the air live, but thank you to those of you, well, actually BBS, you guys rock, because you took care of us and ran an older program of ours on... I can't even remember. Which one did we say? Oh, yeah, guilt and shame.
Yeah, guilt and shame. That was a good one.
Yeah, what a great topic, eh? Always lovely to talk about guilt and shame, right?
Always.
Always. Anyways, this one is about manifestation, as I said. And the reason why Ash and I thought this would be a really interesting topic is because we've got a lot of... you've got the Secret movie out there. You've got a lot of productions, a lot of books, a lot of speakers, in the movement of, I guess, I don't know, that word New Age kind of, I don't know how I feel about that, but I think most of you can identify it. It's the same kind of thing as the word God. Eckhart Tolle talks about, God being kind of overused. I feel a little bit the same about New Age, but it's sort of something that you all can relate to when I say the words. You know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But, the movement is talking a lot about manifestation, and it's talking a lot about the law of attraction, and I'm finding, personally, I find that a lot of people become quite frustrated, including myself, because it's almost like, what does this exactly mean, and how can I, it's almost like, how can I harness it? How can I harness this? I believe it's a universal law, and it's been explained as such by many of these people and books and research and whatnot as that it's a universal law. So you know how there's the secret, and I don't think that spirit, personally, I don't find that spirit does anything in secret. I think everything's out there for all of us equally. I don't think that anybody is more, I don't know, privileged than the other. And for those of you who are my Facebook friends and see my daily quotes, you know exactly where I stand on that. But I definitely believe in equality, and I think that spirit, our creator, you know, it's all one and the same, many paths to the same destination. And I think what it is that we have to recognize the power of ourselves as creator. And we're going to talk a little bit about that.
That sounds really, that's a perfect sentence for the show.
The power of ourselves as creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should call it manifestation. Instead of what? Why I want it now.
What should we have called the show then?
Yeah, we should have called the show. It's just like my show on love. I mean, our show on love should have been my sentence. The sewer system. In the sewer system of love, there are millions of pipes.
There
whatever.
You go. We should have called the show that.
I know.
This one should be what? The power of us as creator. Yeah. There we go.
Anyway, after the fact. Yeah, I agree. I want to start by saying, like, because I was thinking about it when she was talking, like, the power of manifestation, just to me, is, I mean, manifestation is a really, really big word. But how I take it is, my biggest, I guess, overview, let's say, on manifestation, is that I think of manifestation as something that I tell myself to better myself, even. And, or not even to better myself, but to change something positively, because really, I haven't really manifested anything ever to, like, you know, screw something up. Like, I mean, oh, that person just sucks, I hope that they, you know, lose a toenail. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to do that, because, I mean, that's putting that energy back into myself.
Yes.
But when you're wanting to change something positively, you're in turn, putting that positivity into yourself. So, what I was going to say about the manifestation is, if it, like, I equate it to this. Say as an addict or something, you're saying, you know what, like, I really feel like, you know, I can do this. I can quit this. This is a good thing for me. Like, it's like when you're putting out there things that will just, let's just put a big umbrella over it and say positivity. I think that positivity that you're putting out there for yourself, for other people, will come back to you. So it's almost like the secret, like the law of attraction. But there's so many more avenues to it than that. I don't know, I was just thinking that. I really like that about manifestation, because, like, I was thinking about that. If there's negativity and you're putting that out, obviously that's going to come back into yourself. But if you're putting positivity out, it's going to come back to you.
Well, you have to think of it like a boomerang, right?
Yeah.
So what's the stem of it? The stem is thought.
Exactly.
So if our thoughts boomerang back, so we want to be very mindful of our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so all manifestation, everything that is manifested begins with a thought. If we're creators, like, say we're artists, we're musicians, we write songs. Say that is our creation. It starts with a thought. Then it becomes an idea. Then we take action based on the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So manifestation to me is the very same. We are creating, but we are creating in, I don't know if you want to talk about it, in the other dimension world, but we are actually creating our thoughts, our physical things.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, you know, we think of thoughts as, we don't give them the credit that they deserve.
I know.
But that being said, though, sometimes we can run ourselves actually quite crazy. We can become crazy with thoughts if we try to control them.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And one thing that I've always said to people, and I believe this sincerely in my own experience and from what I've seen, is that it's not the thought that we're responsible for. It's whether or not we hang on to it.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. That was really powerful when you told me that.
But isn't that true? Because I think sometimes we go a little bit crazy when we have maybe, for example, a dark thought. Say somebody does something to us, and our first thought is, right? And dark thought comes in. Well, we're not going to really hang on to that. It's whether we choose to hang on to it or not that creates the experience. So we can kind of let go of it, and then we're free of it. And I think of us as a bunch of, like, I just think of whatever's going on around us, the things we can't see, let's talk about that. The things we can't see, but we're still being impressed by them, we're still being affected by them, but we can't see them, the energies and whatnot. It's thought is the same thing. Like, thoughts are kind of, if you think about us as a collective consciousness and how many 7 billion people on this planet thinking,
yeah,
and we are all energy and energetic, and our thoughts are energy and have energy. How can I not somehow be impressed by someone else's thoughts?
Yeah,
is it contained? So that's what I mean by I don't believe that all thought belongs to me.
Yeah, I
agree.
Bottom
line, I don't think all thoughts belong to me.
Well, I agree. It's almost like, you know, when you're over-emotional. And
especially as women.
Yeah, especially
when
as
we're
women.
PMSing or whatnot, right?
But yeah, like, imagine, like, you're over-emotional and everything is upsetting, no matter what. Like, it can be upsetting or it can be just amplified by a whole bunch. Like, even if you're, like, kind of feeling lonely that day, it feels like there's not another frickin' person in the world. Like, you know, it's so bad. But is that your reality? No, because it's not what you're staying with. I mean, it's just a sense. It's your first sense. And just because it's, like, that first, like, thought, it doesn't mean that it's going to stay. It's like anxiety or something like that. Everything's amplified. And I think is like, manifestation. You also kind of need, like, for me, for manifestation, I've never truly believed in it until I saw proof in it. And I wish that I was not like that. Like, before, I would just hang on to thoughts and hang on to even, like, if somebody hurt me, I'd be thinking about it. Or you know, if somebody was, like, really good to me, I'd be like, oh, that's nice, on to the next one, right? Like, it's...
Hanging on to the darker thoughts as opposed to the lighter thoughts?
Exactly, because I let those penetrate me and hurt me more. Because the happiness, of course, would make me really happy, but then when something, you know, hit me, something negative, that could, like, take that happiness and just shove it away. And I think, like, as humans, we're so quick to do that. Like, as soon as, like, we can be really happy, and as soon as something, you know... shitty happens, it takes that happiness and kind of just dulls it down. Whereas, you know, I think if we're really, you know, feeling kind of darker, it's harder to let that happiness penetrate, that positivity penetrate.
So then what do you manifest as a result?
Well, exactly. Like, it's as soon as I saw the proof of manifestation that I can indeed change the dark into the light.
Well, even your own attitude, though.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't even have to be anything other than ourselves,
yeah.
Right? We can manifest even an attitude.
It's to me, this is such a powerful show because I needed this show a long time ago, you know, and now I have it.
So can you share with everyone in the audience, can you share a specific example of how you bore witness to manifestation in your life, what you're talking about?
Well, I go back to Shelley. Remember? My old child friend, Shelley. Okay.
Tell everybody who Shelley is.
Shelley is my old best friend from grade 2 to grade 5. And in grade 5, I was sick with some, I don't know, flu. And then she was not my friend anymore because she wrote all over her binder that everybody else was her best friend. She listed every girl, and then she never listed me at all. And she was my best friend. We fed her every day. We made her lunches for school, okay? She was our... like, she was my best friend.
She was like your sister.
Yeah. And she betrayed me in grade 5. And then when I was in the newspaper, my album was doing good, she tried to contact me, and I just pretended I didn't know her. Anyway, so, yeah, she broke my heart. That was my best friend. And then Casey came along and made it better. But anyway, this is my manifestation story where I first really realized it, is I really felt like my best friend was growing apart from me. Like, I really just felt it. Like, there was something, and I didn't do anything. I was so nice all the time. But I just felt it. And I kept, like, almost, like, thinking, it's over, we're not going to be friends anymore, for, like, a month. And it was like I was pushing it in that direction by feeling that way. It's like, because I was withdrawing myself even when I was thinking that, not intentionally. So I then realized later that I was responsible for the demise of that friendship, too.
There you go. You took some responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Based on your thought.
Yeah.
So you already kind of set it up that you weren't going to be friends anymore in your thinking.
And then it happened.
And then you were friends.
Exactly.
And my question to you...
What?
Why didn't you tell her the truth when she called you, when she saw you in the newspaper and suddenly she wanted to be your friend again?
She didn't call me.
Oh.
It was through friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Like, it was through friends, she tried to get in touch with me, and I just was like, Shelley, no, it's okay, no, just, I'll, and some people were, like, telling me, Shelley wants to talk to you, and no.
Now Shelley's listening.
I don't think so.
Well, I think it'd be kind of cool, actually, if she was, because, you know, a lot of us don't tell the truth, you know, we kind of evade or we avoid because we think it's going to be either confrontational or it'll be painful.
I was 10, but still, I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, but that point is you were 10, and here you are 20
in the
newspaper. At the time when you were doing
about 21,
so about 21 years old, and 11 years had passed and you still had that 10-year-old grudge.
Oh yeah. I did, and I manifested that, man. Like, I'm trying to tell the ear. I have truth tattooed on my
neck.
I
love it. I know you do.
And I I don't know. I've just always, like, it's never really served to not tell the truth.
Well, when did that come to you, though? I mean, you said that you wished that somebody had a manifestation show for you, that you could listen to it and get some insight. When did this realization come to you? Because you were only 10 years old.
Well, I mean, all throughout my life, like, it was just whenever something got to me, I'd give it all the attention in the world instead of trying to find solution or even, like, think about ways to find solution. I'd just be stuck in the crap. Like, I'd just be, this is this way, this is how it's going to be. I'd always tell myself how it's going to be without even giving any room for change. And I think that manifestation can bring about change as soon as you can actually accept that it's possible instead of always referring to, you know, the good. Often people think the good is impossible. And I really needed to know that a lot in my life. Like, I had a good childhood, I had a great upbringing, but, I mean, there's even situations with friends or, you know, old bandmates or whatever that... you know, or in relationships that, you know, you can bring about the change that you don't want by basically
obsessing
believing that
exactly. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people do, right?
Yeah.
You get what you settle for. You get what you focus on,
yeah.
Right? I wanted to share something. This is an article that was on the Law of Attraction called Your DNA Programming and Its Effect on Your Life by Melanie Tanya Evans. And I really liked what she said here. I'm gonna read an excerpt from that article. So once again, this is pertaining to manifestation because it's about this law of attraction, which is about how we attract where we're at. We also manifest. She says, our thoughts literally draw real and solid things from the multiple possibilities that are in our entire existence. Quantum scientists are now conducting measurable experiments never before thought possible to prove the theory that consciousness creates reality. Mm-hmm. You know how William Shakespeare says, you know, all the world's a stage, the men and women merely players. You know, there's a lot of great minds in people that have gone before us that have basically said that everything is kind of mirroring us in a way,
mm-hmm.
like our thoughts are creating our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they now have quantum scientists that are conducting experiments that are proving this.
That's cool.
So, you know, a lot of us, what you were sharing before, Ash, is that you kind of stood stuck in the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You stood still in it. You were stuck in it. I can relate because my whole thing was resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be in victim mode. You know, I would basically, anything that wasn't going right in my life was never my fault.
Yeah.
It was always someone else or what someone else was doing to me. And I gave it a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gave other people a lot of power because I was able to, in my own mindset, convince myself that I wasn't responsible, that mm-hmm. that I was a victim of everyone else and what they did to me. And I love this Erica Jong quote. She says, you take your life into your own hands and what happens is a terrible thing. No one to blame.
Wow.
There's so much freedom when we eventually take personal responsibility for our lives, for our thoughts, for our condition, for where we are financially, mentally, spiritually. Right.
Well, one of the
physically.
Quotes that I found, since we're doing quotes, is really good. And it's speaking of spiritual manifestation stuff, Arthur Young said, "The spirit of life spark which animates manifestation could be called God."
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and I really liked that. When I found that quote, I was like, "Wow, that's really, really true." Like, our power of thought really is responsible for an outcome. And, I mean, that's what a lot of even Christians put in God's hands. Like, you know, you hear my prayers, you'll know what to do. It's like we're kind of God, too, to our
kind
own. Well, we are.
We are.
Yeah.
I believe that's, with all my heart, I believe that's what Jesus was basically telling us, that, you know, the I am is each of us. If we were each to say I am. Mm-hmm. We're co-creators.
Yeah.
You know, there's a piece of God, whatever you want to call God, in each of us. And once we take that responsibility and we accept the divinity that we are, there's no way that we can see each other without love.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we can see each other without a sense of respect and
mm-hmm.
honor
mm-hmm.
and acknowledgement of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Then equality is just the way of being. It's just the way we all are. Now, it's not to take away or negate anybody's special attributes or skills or... You know, we each have our special traits,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it interesting. You know, it would be boring to have 7 billion Cheryls in the world. quite frankly, it would be.
I'd
be laugh. Bored of my second.
You make me laugh all the time. I'd be like, I'd have to wear Depends, dude.
Well, thanks, but I'd bore myself to tears. I definitely want the variety. Right?
I'd bore my own self to tears. I would.
No,
I'd be like, what do you want to do, Ash? Just like Tony Hawk.
Again. You're funny, but you know what I mean by that, right? It's just, it's celebrating the diversity, celebrating how unique each of us are in our own ways, and yet, and at the same time, celebrating the similarities. And this is where, again, it's about keeping us in that place of I am, we are, right? So we have a new phone number, new call-in number. Where did I put it?
Here it is.
Yes, please call in, because if you do, you'll get cyber hugs.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Come on down. You're the next person on the Hologram Radio Show.
I just noticed a blister on my foot, too, and it was quite alarming.
Did you manifest it?
No. But maybe I remember what happened.
Yeah.
At camping, I heard it.
It's alarming.
It is. Look at that. It looks like a mole. Like I was reborn and have a mole on my toe. Anyway,
more interesting now.
Hey, I'll show you a picture of it if you call in. Okay. 888-627-6008. Please call in, because I'd be really happy to talk to you. That's all. I want to say, please, we like when you call. We think it's, and I mean, come on, like, give us some examples of how manifestation has, you know, changed your course in life, willingly or unwillingly.
I want to talk a bit about the how to harness manifestation. I think most people are interested in that too, right? I think I equate it to parenting. When we become parents, and Ash, unfortunately, she's not a parent, but I can talk about being a parent.
Mushu.
Okay, she's parent to the cat.
Yeah.
But the one thing is, when we become parents, and I was a parent at a young age, when we become parents, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. It's like you want a manual, but nobody has the manual. And most of us are going, I'm not going to do what my parents did, because I'm going to do it better. I know I was. But the fact is that a lot of us lapse into what our parents did, because that's what we know. And this is kind of similar. I believe that we come into this planet, we come into this life, into this existence with all knowledge, yet we have chosen to forget a lot of it. So it's about remembering. And Neil Donald Walsh talks about this too, remembering, so bringing everything back together. And this is part of it, you know, how to manifest, what is manifestation, what is alchemy, all of this. How do we create our own reality? How can we create a better reality? How do we know what is a better reality? Because oftentimes, you know, you can look back in your own life and go, I'm really glad it didn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that we wished would have happened
that didn't, and you look back.
That didn't, and then, you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? So then you look back and you go, hey, I'm actually really, really glad it didn't work out the way I thought it should.
Yeah.
So it's like we're co-creating with Source. I think we have to remember that. Like, we have the ability as creators to create our experience, but mm-hmm. don't forget we're co-creating with Source. So there's a certain degree of surrender here and letting go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where a lot of prayer can come in too, because we can wish and we can dream and we can pray
mm-hmm.
and we can say, you know what? I'd really like, let's use an example of like a relationship. I really like so-and-so, and I think so-and-so is the person for me, and I bet, you know, please, please make so-and-so want me,
mm-hmm.
and so that we can be in partnership, and I could just see, because we're enamored of romantic love, I think, in this world, in this society, right? So a lot of us put a lot of attention on romantic relationships,
mm-hmm.
and we, you know, we want to have that perfect person, we want to find our soulmate, we want to have that connection, and, you know, sometimes we think, so-and-so is the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, divine plan, you know, higher consciousness, mm-hmm. greater picture, knows otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a degree of wishing and letting go. And this, I think, is the balance. And this is the mm-hmm. challenge with manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a caller. You want to take it, Ash?
We're both going to take it. And it's Jax on line 3.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Hi, Jax.
So actually, it turns out that what you guys just said was perfect for what I wanted to say, because I have the answer.
Okay.
Okay, so the problem with pure manifestation, where you're trying to figure out, okay, what do I want? What do I want to try to manifest and all that stuff, right? The problem is that's coming from a veiled viewpoint. We don't know the big picture. We can get a clue as to the big picture, but we never have the full picture, no matter what we're doing, right? And so for me, I always struggled with, well, what if what I'm trying to manifest isn't good? Like, I could never fully commit to anything because, well, even when I thought I had, then it wouldn't work out, and then you're wondering why, and it gets really complicated and discouraging. And then I learned about the teachings of Tom Moore, M-O-O-R-E, by the way, and he teaches benevolent prayer and requesting benevolent outcomes. And the key is that a benevolent prayer or benevolent outcome takes your request, whatever it is, and then it links it basically to what is the real guardian angels, not what we misperceive guardian angels as, but it's not that critical. It links it to basically another thing in the universe that's whole job basically is to help you when you ask for help in creating things in your life, assuming it's okay to do so. And by linking the word benevolence with it, whatever you're requesting will come to fruition as long as it's A, allowed by your soul path. You can't get out of any soul path lessons that way. And B, benevolent for the people involved in the situation. So it's fairly straightforward, and like you ask, you would say, like, I request most benevolent outcome for blah, 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 whatever. So, for example, like, my first time using it, I was running late at work. We needed to ship some corrected stuff out to Australia. So we literally were running down to the minute to beat the delivery guy. And he was going to be there. And I was like, we're screwed. And so I said, you know, I requested a benevolent outcome for Australia to get the shipment out that day still, that the guy would be late or whatever. And I verified after that the way that my benevolent outcome worked out, a stoplight broke so that the delivery driver got stuck at an intersection for 20 minutes because no one would let him through the intersection to turn left. Now, that worked out great for me because I got my shipment done literally minutes before he got there.
Wow.
It worked out for him because he got overtime, which he desperately, you know, needed to help buy presents and stuff coming up. And the other people weren't really inconvenienced at all because they went through the intersection. They just didn't let the guy through.
Wow.
So it's not as simple as just saying, you know, it's not like I exerted my will saying, this is going to work. I'm going to get it done, blah, blah, blah. Because my will can only stretch so far.
Mm-hmm.
But pulling in a guardian angel, they are very powerful beings, for one. They do this all the time. They can do it without breaking a sweat, and they can coordinate between everyone else's guardian angels and everything, get permission from everyone's souls fairly quickly, and they can work out an outcome that satisfies what is benevolent for your situation and their situation and everything else. It doesn't require you knowing how it works. It doesn't require you, you know, trying to even figure out what is the best outcome for things. Sometimes you just request the outcome for a situation because you don't know. And then later you can look back and see how it worked out. And even if it doesn't work out at all from your perspective, it can make situations that have to occur more gentle. So if I have to experience a car accident or something, and I request a benevolent outcome for safe travels, I get in a car accident, but I might not be hurt as badly or at all as if I hadn't requested benevolent outcomes, because now I've set that intention. It's a matter of, instead of manifestation being pure creation on our own, benevolent outcomes is co-creation. It's linking our desires and our will with basically the larger universe, with a powerful being that's their whole job. And it's a matter of, you have desires, but you're going with what is best for the universe as well, so that you aren't going to accidentally try to enforce your will in something that actually will be very bad for you or bad for someone else.
That's
true.
That
was a lot of work.
It's like, yeah, that's really, really cool, because it's like, it's almost, you're putting positivity out times two, because you're not trying to change the path or the positivity of somebody else. You're just trying to benevolently do it. I think it's so cool.
I love that word, benevolent.
I love that word.
Benevolent.
I really love your call today.
Yes, it's perfect. And it ties in exactly with, yeah, I love it. See, this is benevolent, right?
Yes.
Because what we're sharing is going, and you come in and you bring it, and you tie it all so nicely together. I just want to ask you, there's so many Thomas and Tom Moores. You know, there's Sir Thomas More, who's back in King Henry's day, and he was a cardinal.
Yeah,
who are you speaking of? So who?
Okay.
Which one are you speaking
Tom
of?
Moore.
Just Tom?
He's just a guy. I mean, like, Tom Moore. I think it's, is it A or T? I'm forgetting now. He's, if you look up, his website is Gentle Way Book. That's the name of his book, The Gentle Way. It's all about requesting benevolent outcomes and how he learned about his guardian angels and like, what he's learned from them. He has an amazing, mind-blowing weekly newsletter where he talks to his guardian angel. He also channels, he has a, like, a soul brother, is what he called them, from Sirius, I think. So one of the main people that are going to be involved in making first contact in a couple years with other races. And then he also channels, like, Gaia, the moon occasionally, the sun. And it's really cool. And the guy, I've actually taken a seminar with him, too, because he lives in Dallas. So he's not too far from here, and he was in Houston. And he's a really good guy. He's very sincere. He's not, you know, charging money for all of his stuff and everything. You know, it's just, these are his, he has a weekly newsletter, and he also has a blog where people just share benevolent outcome stories. So you can see the myriad of ways that people have applied them in their lives and how they work, or, you know, even struggles with them, because I struggle with them sometimes too. And so it's a process that you're learning. And I'm still working on it, even though it's been a year that I've been working on it. But I'm a little stubborn, and I sometimes, you know, I want things to be easy all the time, and that doesn't work. So I'm like, where's my easy button? And then when it doesn't get, you know, when it isn't easy, then I get pissed off. And so, you know, it's they work really well, even when you don't think they're working.
Yeah, no. And it's just about being persistent and persevering with it, right? Not giving up too easily. And this also isn't a new concept, because Gary Zukav, he wrote Seed of the Soul, as you know, many, many years ago. Oprah brought him to the forefront because she brought him on her show. And he says pretty much the same thing. He says, by choosing your thoughts and by selecting which emotional currents you will release and which you will reinforce, you determine the quality of your light. You determine the effects that you will have upon others and the nature of the experiences of your life. Like, that's in direct context of how our thoughts, bringing in the benevolence ties in with that, because it's also about, we affect others. It's not about being selfish with our desires. And one of the things I learned, I read The Game of Life by Florence Scovel Shinn many, many years ago myself. And I brought in a tagline that I say to every wish, every prayer. And it's for the highest good of all. It's always for the highest good of all. So I'll say, under grace and in perfect ways, for the highest good of all. And I find that that works for me in every situation, because anything that I'm desiring or anything, any particular wish that I may have, I always say, under grace and in perfect ways, for the highest good of all. And I find that that works really well for me. Mm-hmm. And I learned that from the Game of Life book by Florence Scovel Shinn. And she was the predecessor for Law of Attraction. She wrote that book in 1923. And, I mean, we're not talking about new ideas. If you go back in history, a lot of this has already been said. But, you know, it's just about people come in and they say them in a different way that some others can get it, right? And that's the beauty of this, is I believe that all of this truth, the threads run together. It's not separate. Like, everything comes back and it becomes this beautiful tapestry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really glad. I just wanted you to share where you got that from.
Yeah, well, and what's interesting, reading the conversations that he has with his GA, because it's easier than saying Guardian Angel, is like he's been doing this actually since Atlantis. So a lot of people that take on these spiritual mastery lifelines, you know, do it over many, many lifelines and like lifetimes. And so, you know, the concept of a benevolent outcome in the prayer and kind of the structure is actually really ancient, back to like Atlantis, but it was a small thing. You know, only a small group of people knew about it and stuff. And over more than one lifetime, it's being refined and understood. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some of these same teachers from 100 years ago, 200 years ago, are actually the same soul reincarnating over multiple lifelines and working with other similar souls to help create this and refine it to prepare us for where we're at today, which is on the verge of the veil being thinned. I don't think it's ever fully lifted, but really thinned, so that we start to understand that our place in the universe is nothing at all that we thought it was. And so many of our beliefs, you know, are totally skewed because we've been so veiled. And part of that is how much power we have. And understanding that everything isn't a linear process, that it isn't as simple as you work, you get what you work for, because clearly that's not the only solution, because for a lot of people that still doesn't work. And even pure manifestation doesn't work always, because we have underlying issues, you know, we have underlying beliefs that prevent us from getting what we think we want. And we don't understand our own life paths and soul paths, so we can be requesting things and wanting things that are never, ever going to happen and not good for us. You know, people focus on money. They focus on, I'm going to manifest the lottery. But the lottery isn't common. There's a good reason for it, and it's a really particular set of life lessons. And so unless you set your soul path up to experience sudden wealth like that, you're not going to win the lottery. You might win some smaller amounts of money, but you're better off focusing on, if you can request a benevolent outcome for, you know, getting the money and the means to be able to meet your needs, you know, if you need to pay for something or if you just want something, you know, you need new furniture. Well, if you put a, you know, instead of manifesting, I'm going to buy this furniture, I'm going to win it or whatever, if you can make it general, then you can, it can come to you in many more ways than what you think of. So I think
that's great. Yeah, that's you're right.
We have to know the answer, but we don't.
Yeah. So this is exactly what I said prior to your call. You're beautifully just saying the same thing in a great way, because it again helps people to understand. It's we are co-creators, and we need to recognize not only our ability to create, but also that we don't want to create anything that's going to cause harm or is going to, you know, affect someone else in a negative way. So I think that's part of the importance when we're thinking about manifestation, is to remember that we're not just manifesting for ourselves, we're actually affecting others. For example, if you were saying about this lottery win, say I really want money because I want money to buy something, a house, and I have a need for it, but there's someone else who has a greater need for it. And I'm fine when it comes right down to it. So I think this is important that we recognize that we can say, this is what I would like to manifest, but this is also, I'm allowing for the highest good of all. I'm allowing for the benevolence to come in, because ultimately what is best for my brother or sister is also best for me. So thank you so much, Jax. We always love to hear from you.
That was perfect. That was perfect. Such a great call, because I feel the same way about the generalization. Like, if you're focusing on one thing, like, I want this, and it's twisted a little bit, you're like, ah! But, you know, if you put it up there, generalize it, and that's when it truly comes. That's what I think. You rocked it today.
Thank you, Jax. Much love to you and to Carrie.
Yes,
and
give Carrie a hug for us.
Thank you for listening, and thank you again for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, we're going to check him out, that guy.
Yeah, definitely, and would encourage others to do as well. So thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
All right, have a great night, guys.
You too.
Thanks
bye,
for
Jax.
Listening and calling.
Thank you, bye. That's fantastic. I
that
love
ruled.
That. And it basically was just saying, get out, you know, manifestation, be responsible for it, but also recognize that it is about how we affect each other in our manifestation, right? It's not about selfishness.
Exactly.
And ultimately, when we are benevolent, as Jax was sharing, we all reap, because even in her story with the courier fellow, everybody was okay. Everybody was okay.
It
worked for everybody, and I think that's the key. Right? And that's where love comes in. We always talk about love. Hologram is about love and love.
Revolution.
The love revolution. You know, join the revolution with us of love. And everything stems from love, and benevolence comes from love too, because it's respect and appreciating all people and all creatures and all things.
Well, I was going somewhere. Here's a small example before we move on. My tattoo artist and I, we were going somewhere with my mom and her daughter. And we were just driving, and we had to be somewhere at an exact time. And I remember before I really believed in manifestation or something, I was kind of, she actually like put her hand to the clock and was manifesting it, not changing, because obviously you can't change the world's time, but just it being, you know, I guess slowing down enough in for us to get there. And it was crazy. I was like, are you kidding? And it did it. And I just was like, okay, this is creepy. Wow, what's going on? Like, it's not about, you know, prevailing over anybody else. It's the unity that you can all reach together.
I think it's also a really big deal for each of us to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with all sincerity. I think a lot of us are kind of walking through this life asleep. Mm-hmm. I love the movie The Matrix because it speaks specifically about that. You know, do you take the red pill or the blue pill? Do you mm-hmm. want to kind of live in this almost like the soporific kind of environment where you're not even, you know, it just kind of puts you to sleep and you're not really growing, mm-hmm. you're not really even acknowledging or seeing your own divinity, your own power.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about being empowered. We're talking about recognizing the power of our thoughts, recognizing how we can actually create our experience, recognizing our coexisting mm-hmm. and our co-creation.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important that we first must become awake.
Wake up.
In order to manifest or to have a knowledge of how we manifest or to even kind of get a grip on it or a grasp of it. P.D. Uspensky said, when one realizes one is asleep, at that moment one is already half awoken.
That's amazing.
So, isn't that true, though?
That's totally true.
We have to be, I'm going to use myself as an example. When I was a victim of my life and I pointed out, you know, this is why, and I had pretty good excuses because I've had, you know, I've had some stuff happen in my life that I could easily have remained a victim mm-hmm. of. But the fact is that we all can consciously pull ourselves out of being a victim. That is part of awakening, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we give our power away, we give it away. We have none left.
Yeah, that's true.
And we are, even in that, half asleep.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And it's not so scary.
Yeah.
How do you like being awake?
Well, for me, I think it's just to realize something is half the, I'll just say battle, and that's kind of a dumb word. It's like it is like for me, like all my life, it's when I'm living kind of blindly and not focusing on anything, that's truly where I'm asleep. Like when I realize, though, when I'm asleep, you know, I feel like I'm starting at square one, or you know, I'm really on my way to bettering a situation.
There's nothing wrong with letting go and surrendering to mm-hmm. a higher knowledge.
Yeah.
But when we actually surrender to being ineffective, that's when we have to be careful.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's important also that we recognize that we cease trying to work everything out with our minds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we get caught up, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning, is we get caught up in, how do I, give me the answer, give me the manual, you know, point form, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, you know, subsection, I want to know how to manifest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of it is, you know, just like parenting, I want to know how to be a great parent, but manifestation is like being a great parent.
Mm-hmm.
Each child is individual and different.
Mm-hmm.
Each of our lives is individual and different.
Mm-hmm.
What might work for you may not necessarily work for me in mm-hmm. terms of even how to manifest or go about manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might be more apt to manifest in meditation, things come to them. Some people might be more alert when things come to them, visual signs. I'm very much a visual sign person. I see a lot of things and they come at me and I get the message. It's like,
or
it's
you
a,
get it in one big chunk.
I get it in a lot of, yeah, in one big chunk. I have a whole bunch of information in an instant given to me. Everybody is different. Mm-hmm. So again, manifesting has to go with your particular personality and your particular vision. And the way that you see and the way that you connect with the other dimensions, the way you connect with your guardian angels, the way you connect with your guides, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And so don't fall in love with your mind too much. And I'm guilty of this too because I can over-intellectualize things. And it's important that we live by our intuition and inspiration because then our lives can become revelation.
That's good.
Right?
That's good. I like the things you say.
All right. I also want to say this is something that that was given to us and shared. We want to share with you.
Given to you and shared.
Given to me. And I'd like to share it with you. And this is from someone who's very dear to me and an extremely intelligent man and has a lot of just really great insight. And I want to share this. If we could define manifestation as art, it would not come down to the fact that some people can paint better with acrylic and some with watercolor. We are creating and manifesting without knowing. We indeed are in the moment and motion of manifestation with every heartbeat. We are decorating the canvas of emotional and physical progress endlessly, trying to either vacate our minds of change we wish to cease from or filling our minds with the change we find imperative. Either way, the thoughts that we have, whether wanted or unwanted, birth into our breath, and we breathe them out into the consciousness of our will and our ways. So basically, again, it ties in with the intuition. What comes to us is we can have our thoughts. We can breathe them out. They can become real. We can dwell on it. We cannot dwell on it. Inevitably, don't try to control it because it doesn't need to be controlled. I'm really grateful for the divine path. I'm really grateful for all the help that I've received in my life because a lot of times I've gotten in my own way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, think about it.
I have help to get out of my own way. So
if I could say I was interviewing you right now and I said, okay, Cheryl.
Yeah.
So in this time, say you were like, you know what you told me before about, you know, what you kind of prayed for before is going to, tried to manifest before that you really thought, you know, was the way to go. And then interviewing you now, where do you think you're in life now as opposed to where you were a year ago?
Well, this has been a lot of letting go. I mean, I've let go of a lot of ideas. I've let go of a lot of what I think. One of my least favorite words is should. Mm-hmm. And another word that I really don't like is can't. And I've always fought against when anybody tells me should. Mm-hmm. Including myself. Mm-hmm. I should feel this way or I should be here in my life. And, you know, it's inevitable because there's a certain kind of societal pressure that I've had imposed on me, and I think you probably all can relate to me in this way, in terms of where I should be, whether it's financially, emotionally, mentally, you know, in this world as a woman, at the age that I'm at, or even as an artist. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have been doing this for many, many, many years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even artistically, we kind of, you know, give ourselves a bit of a flogging and go, hey, you should be here, or you should be doing this or that. And it's just really important. What I've done the last year is I've let go of a lot of things. I've let go of my ideas of the way anything should or shouldn't be. And I really feel very blessed that I've kind of gone the Taoist flow, you know, just being okay. And also really connecting with how I affect others, right, in terms of my actions. And I've, as you know, I've had a lot of challenges the last year and a lot of upset and whatnot and how I've decided to behave or how I've decided to express myself. I've been really mindful of it. But I also cut myself some slack because I allow myself to feel because, you know, it's been a lot of pain and allow myself to feel that. But at the same time, not lashing out and causing more.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not always easy. But I think my life has transformed, and it continues to transform. And I am grateful. I want to share it with others. I mean, I just want everyone else to recognize their own beauty and their own divinity. This is why we do this show. This is why we create music. I mean, mm-hmm. we're artists from the core of us. We have to express. But it goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want to make an impact, a positive one. And this is why, you know, I was thinking about this today. I'm a very private person. And in some ways, I'm not at all, because I've been mm-hmm. out there in terms of I share really openly about my addiction, about my recovery, about mm-hmm. rape I've talked about. I've shared about my father's suicide and how that affected me. And, you know, in that way, the reason why I do that is because mm-hmm. I have trust and faith that by me sharing honestly my process around all of those things, I can actually help others to feel not so alone.
Well, see, I'm the same way, actually. It's like, and you've helped me get there. Like, to be quite honest, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I don't mind at all being open about. I mean, think about it. It's so much better to be able to just say your truth about that kind of thing. But I mean, like, something as like a man you're seeing, or like a woman you're seeing, or whatever. I mean, that's nobody's business. To me, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, everybody, guess what? You have to hear about this. And we had this problem, or it was so awesome. We had like the best day ever. It's like, that's not going to really affect the lives of somebody else, rather than saying something so real that's like, you know what? I really felt like shit that day. And I thought I let myself down. And this is how I, you know, climbed back up and whatever. I'm totally, for the first time in my life, okay with doing that. Like, talking about things I've been through and being okay with that, rather than just having to say, but I fixed it all. Like, just actually saying, I really screwed up here, and I'll talk about it with you.
Well, I think that's beautiful. I mean, because inevitably we all mess up at some point, but how can we see perfection in even the mistakes?
Yeah.
And one of the greatest travesties, I think, in terms of religion, is that some people honestly believe that they were born sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is so uncool.
I think that sucks.
To say that to anybody, that you're born a sinner, it's almost like you can't get out of it.
What's that? If you pass me my phone before we're done, I want you to say that quote that's on your Facebook.
Which one?
I saw it today, and it's about religion.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll find it. You talk.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that we're winding down, and I'm really grateful to have this show. Really, really grateful to Don and Doug Newsome for having the platform for each of us to be able to share our truths and be very honest and open on BBS Radio. We can even swear.
Can I say shit?
What?
I did. Well, oh, crap. Well, I did now.
And we're not too worried about it. But I found this actually, this I can't take credit for this, because I found this on I Live for the Lults on Facebook. And it's an image that I thought was absolutely beautiful. And if anybody wants to find me on Facebook, I'm just under Cheryl Catherine Smith. And I have a public page as well as a private one. So you can have a look at my public page, and this is posted on there. And what it says is, morality is doing what is right regardless of what you are told. Religion is doing what you are told regardless of what is right.
I loved that.
And I think it's really important for us to remember that, because we are given intuition and our gut feeling for a reason. And if you're being told to do anything, and we teach this to our children in terms of sexual abuse or physical mm-hmm. abuse, because children, their intuition is dead on,
yeah,
right?
I know.
And we tell our children, if anything feels wrong, don't do it, or tell somebody. Mm-hmm. Well, we should tell ourselves that as an adult.
Yeah, I agree.
If something feels wrong, then don't do it, or express, you know, and get to the point of why it doesn't feel
mm-hmm.
right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so I think it's really be great if we could all kind of live more like kids, you know, and go back to that innocence, go back to that trust, go mm-hmm. back to that faith in ourselves and our ability to connect with
yeah.
our honesty and our truth.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say?
There is. What I want to say is, we'll come back maybe to and tie it up with manifestation, but while I'm just thinking about it, I just want to tell everybody that we're going to start doing our vlog project soon. And also, and which is, we're going to talk about our radio show.
Yeah. So we're planning on doing our vlogs after every show.
After every show.
So every 2 weeks.
So you can look on YouTube. And right now we're having some problems with our web hosting. So we're just in the process of that. Our website isn't even up now, but it probably will be tonight. Cross your fingers, pray, manifest.
Ask for benevolence.
Ask for benevolence.
The highest
prayer.
Good of all that we exactly. can get our holo-gram.com website back up. We're having problems with the hosting. And yeah, I just want to end this. Do you want to say anything? Because I got a Buddha thing that I want to share.
Do the Buddha.
The Buddha.
Do the Buddha.
We love Buddha.
We love Buddha.
Buddha said, the thought manifests as the word. The word manifests as the deed. The deed develops into habit, and the habit hardens into character. So watch the thought and its ways with care, and let it spring from love, born out of concern, for all beings.
That's awesome.
Be mindful of that. Recognize your thoughts. Don't get all hung up on a thought that comes to you that doesn't sit right with you. It doesn't necessarily mean it belongs to you. It only belongs to you when you entertain it and hang on to it for a while. Otherwise, discard it. Start afresh.
Yeah.
Believe in
Don't
yourself.
Beat yourself up.
You're not a sinner. You're beautiful, beautiful, divine expressions and creations of Creator, and we all together are in this. Don't forget that. We're not so unique, yet we are. There's the thing. We're not so unique, yet we are.
Yeah, exactly.
So manifest, act in benevolence, as Jack so graciously shared with us, the Tom Moore site that she shared with us. You can check him out. And yeah, that's about it. I think we're going to say we love you.
Yeah, I think we're going to say it too. And we love you.
And yeah, stay tuned for our vlog. We're going to do it after the show. We're going to put it up on our YouTube site.
After some dinner.
After we have a bit of dinner.
Some coffee.
Some coffee maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe put on a hat.
Oh my God, is my hair that bad? I think I had a shower today or something and didn't do anything to my hair. Oh no, crap. Nobody's going to see me right now.
No, but you can put a hat on. That's
like
always
a bushel.
A bushel. You got a bushel of hair on that head.
Buckety.
It's buckety, man. So take care. We love you. Check out our new stuff. And if anything you want us to check out, feel free to email us, right?
Or if you have anything you want us to discuss on a vlog.
Definitely. We're open. We're open to all of this because we're in it together. Much love to you. Go kiss a tree.
Kiss a tree.
Bye.
Bye.